All right, that ends our prepared speaker remarks, and now we open up for question and answer, and I encourage all the speakers to join in the conversation. We're going to start with questions for John Hennessy first. John, you mentioned that you discussed board representation for minorities, and you thought about it in the context of new seats. Why should we limit ourselves to new seats versus the existing board members? Why not look to the right or to the left and say, you know, maybe you should go and be taken by someone else?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Larry. I think board turnover is a useful thing, and I think good boards try to balance that process of turning over board members so that they retain a base of in-depth knowledge while also refreshing the board and adding different perspectives and hopefully improving diversity.
Amazon is using an interesting hiring technique. Instead of focusing on resumes where you went to college, they give a computer science exam, asking them to write a program and then evaluating that program. Do you think that will help eliminate systematic racism, or do you feel like that may go the wrong way and maybe encourage even more Asian success in these firms?
I think it's hard to say without doing some measurement. I think trying to move away from a small set of schools that you hire from certainly is critical to improve diversity. And giving young people opportunities through internships when they're still in school, looking at how well managers and recruiters are bringing in a more diverse workforce, those are all things that you can use to twist things and move them in the right direction. And making sure that everybody has the training against explicit and implicit bias, I think, is crucial.
You mentioned internships. For a while, we had a substantial number of unpaid internships, and the state has come out against that and said that these interns need to be paid. I'm not sure that has resulted in a reduction in total internships. How do you think about compensation and internships, particularly for those minority students who actually need to earn a buck?
Yeah, well, we do compensate them. I think it is critical. I think one of the challenges John talked about the number of bachelor's students, for example, that are Black or Latinx. That number has come up. But you look at the number of master's students, for example, and much of the tech industry hires people with master's, and the number goes down significantly when you go up to the master's level. But trying to get people in internships where they can earn some money and not have to deal with the burdens of college debt quite so dramatically, I think, is important.
Yeah, this is Charlie Moore. I'm just going to jump in on that one because we – at Rocket Lawyer, we have interns every year, and we have some right now, of course, with everybody working from home. It's interesting having these law students and college students in our internship program, working from the homes they grew up in. But we have a policy not to do unpaid internships, and for whatever that's worth, I very much encourage everybody who can pay for labor to pay for labor. I just think that's a bad look in general with income inequality and the trends that are happening in the world. It's different in other industries, but I just wanted to throw my two cents in there for paying people for the work that they do.
Yeah, this is Nicole. I absolutely agree.
John, you were previously the president of Stanford University, and obviously we're in a very unusual campus teaching online COVID experience. From your context of having that very senior position, how do you think about how this will impact the university and schooling in general?
Well, I'll tell you, it's caused a lot of stress, some of it particularly on our first-generation students. When they're in the university, we can at least hide some of the dramatic economic inequality that exists in our country. But we've got students working at home where they don't have a room where they can go. They don't have a good internet connection. They don't have the things that enable to do this. So there's a lot of concern about what's going to happen to our lower income and first generation students. The other thing you notice, Larry, is the people who hate this the most are the students. The faculty don't like teaching this way, but the students hate it. They hate not being able to get together and have those informal meetings and hang out with fellow students and debate topics. So that I think is a reminder of what's valuable about that residential undergraduate experience. I think as far as big classes go, big lecture classes, they may actually be better online. They certainly allow students to ask questions more easily in a less intimidating environment. So I think we'll learn something from this process. But the sooner we can get back to meeting students in person, the better off I think we'll be.
Okay, final question for John here. John, you talked finally about the role or you alluded to the role of potential role for Google in addressing the pipeline problem. Could you say more about how we could address the how a company like Google could address the pipeline problem beyond simply offering internships to kids who are ready to move into them?
Yeah, Rick, I think it's a good question. I think we need to, if you look at one of the great sins in America, in addition to racism, is the fact that we don't offer a high-quality K-12 experience for every single kid. And it is a disgraceful situation when you look at the quality of education and what's offered to kids who don't have the same advantages that many of our kids here go to Palo Alto schools have, for example. So that's a gap which I think perhaps technology can help fill, but making sure that these districts that don't have as much financial resources have access to technology, have a way to get it in place, have a way to get online technology working, especially with the pandemic raging and a situation where it looks like a lot of school districts are not going to be in person. So getting technology out there and getting software which can help these kids learn, I think, is a crucial thing. If we're not going to actually increase the inequality that we already have, both racially and economically.
Okay. Thank you very much.